You're not allowed to be born or to die on Svalbard. On this tiny archipelago halfway between Norway and the North Pole, there's no cemetery because the bodies freeze solid and never go away. And the hospital isn't equipped for all the messy and terrible things that can happen in childbirth. So women fly down to the mainland before their babies are due. No beginnings or endings of life. Just the in-between. Once upon a time, in a greenhouse at the top of the world, my mother and father were waiting for me to be born. It was almost time, and my mother had bought her plane ticket and packed her suitcase. Books, pajamas, toothbrush, diapers, more books. Everything was ready, and she was supposed to be sleeping, but an ache in her lower back kept nudging her awake. She left my father snoring in bed and stole outside. Even at midnight, the sun was bright, the air scented with cold sea and wind over stone. On an improvised clothesline behind the house, my mother had hung three pairs of tiny footed pajamas that she'd bought for me. She wanted them to absorb that night sun smell, so I'd know it as soon as I came into the world. As she reached up to unpin the first sleeve, the whispering of wings filled the air. Claws grasped the shoulders of her robe, her hair, her wrists and fingers. White feathers flew like snow as the birds flapped and pulled and rose. Up my mother flew, over the little town of Longyearbyen, its rows of candy-colored houses cradled by flat-topped mountains. Down through a fjord with water like blue-stained glass. Over a craggy glacier with waterfalls pouring into the sea. Then up, up again to the top of a snow-covered peak. I used to ask my mother if she was scared when she flew all that way. But she told me the birds were so gentle with their claws. And besides, she'd never been afraid of heights. As she flew, she said, the pain in her back grew deeper, fiercer, until it felt like she might turn inside out. Finally, the birds set her down in a nest made of down feathers, softer than clouds. Moments later, she pushed me out into the world, wet and steaming in the cold. She pulled off her bathrobe and wrapped me in it, put me to her breast. I asked her once if she was cold without her bathrobe, but she said she felt nothing but wild elation singing through her veins now that she finally could hold me in her arms and see my face. She said she could have walked home naked and not shivered once. But she didn't have to walk home. Once I dropped off to sleep, and my mother tucked her robe closer around my shriveled face. The birds took her again, this time by the shoulders of her nightgown. She wasn't worried about dropping me. She was physically incapable of letting me go, she said. The birds flew my mother across the fjord and back into the town, which was now slowly waking up, though it had been light all night long. She pointed to our house, the green one at the end of the row, in case the birds had forgotten. As they put her down, her feet slid right into her slippers where she'd left them. The door had latched shut, and she hadn't brought her keys, so she knocked. When my father answered, bleary and tousled, there she was, holding the child he hadn't been expecting to see for weeks. Sometimes, as I'm just about to fall asleep, I can almost remember it. The confusion in his face fading to love as he drank me in. It didn't matter how or why. We were back. We were home. We were safe. But it wasn't the only time my mother flew away.